Welcome back for another edition of Sports Look. Great to have you with us, and great to have fantastic sponsors like Hamada Wealth Management, Exchange Bank, Gerber Electric, and Taco John's. Tom Counts, Gus Counts with you. Gus, it's been, forever since the last Sports Look, and there has been a whole lot of stuff that has gone on in the meantime between our visits here, and we're going to be trying to catch up on a lot of stuff and a lot of things going on around the area. Speaking of going on around the area, first things first, we need to talk about the upcoming sports schedule. Pick a day, there's something going on. Pretty much is how it rolls, right? Friday night, tomorrow night, we're going to be in Winchester, Kansas. This will be fantastic basketball. Valley Falls at Jefferson County North. The girls' teams, very similar in record. And it's always kind of cool when you have a former player from one team who's now coaching the other team. And so there's a whole lot that goes on there. The girls' game will be great. And then the boys' game, JCN, Valley Falls, both state-ranked, both undefeated coming into this game. So it should be really high-quality games. Saturday afternoon, we're going to go to Lamoni. They say there's snow on the ground in Iowa. We'll go find out as Benedictine is at Graceland. 2 o'clock for the ladies' game and a 4 o'clock tip-off for the guys. Next Tuesday, we've got Oskaloosa at Horton as Northeast Kansas League play continues. And then next Wednesday, we're taking a trip to the Collins Center. Benedictine at Baker, 5:30 and 7:30 Wednesday. So, busy time.
So you're going to hit the Collins and the Clawson.
The Collins and the Clawson on back-to-back game night.
And the newly renovated Clawson, right? When we were there for football, they were taking like big tiles off the roof and things.
Yeah,
so
they're supposed to have redone it. They've redone floors, redone
seating. You think they put
lights
in it, or you still have to bring your own flashlight?
No, you pretty much have to have one of those little headlights that you strap on the bill of your hat, so you can see where you're going. I'll be curious to see, what they've done with the inside men's volleyball courts, the inside track for their track team. I mean, curious to how they have renovated one of the classic buildings. I mean, that building is cool. Between it and Ashcroft, two of the coolest buildings you're ever going to get into the middle of.
Great. As you're coming up 35 Highway, once you get about to the Iowa line, you're still 3-4 miles away, and it feels like being in western Kansas, right? You see the building and just start weaving your way to it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what it kind of reminds me of is what I think about a little bit when I see it. I don't know if you've ever been to up I-25 in Colorado and you see Air Force Academy. And that building, that they've got, which is a lot like Denver International with the big peaks all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's a lot like that. So pretty cool business. We're going to be up there for that. High school basketball has gotten underway in a big, big way. The other night we made a trip down to, we had Monday night games at Valley Falls. We had Tuesday night games. And because we've seen some pretty good basketball at Valley Falls and in Effingham and some pretty good teams and some really good performances.
Yeah, last week you went to Valley Falls, you went, to ACCHS,
yep.
And you've seen a lot of good basketball to this point. Some games that have gone on around the area, let's just quickly run over it. Last night in girls basketball, Savannah knocked off Atchison 52-36. It was the game you had the other night, ACCHS over JCN, 62-33. You had Horton Ladies over McLeod, 44-33. Jackson Heights playing really good basketball right
now. Oh, my gosh,
scoring almost 60 points in their outing over Moore Hill Mount Academy. And then the Pleasant Ridge Ladies knocked off Oskaloosa, 43-22. So a lot of fun games going on last week. Let's go and, while we're talking about girls basketball in the Northeast Kansas League, real quick, taking a look at the standings in the NEK for the girls.
Well, I tell you what, and are there good teams? You bet there are. Matter of fact, there are a couple of undefeated clubs. Jackson Heights, 5-0 in the conference. They are 6-0 overall. ACCHS, 6-0 in the conference. They are 6-1 overall. The Lady Tigers' only loss was to Holton, as they went up a couple of divisions, to play that old former Big 7 opponent. So two undefeated teams in the conference. Right behind them, Valley Falls at 4-2. Moore Hill Mount Academy at 500. They are 3-3 in the conference. Horton, 2-3. JCN, 2-4. McLeod, 2-4. Pleasant Ridge, 2-5. And Oskaloosa, the only winless team on the girls' side in the conference. And when you've got teams winning games, that kind of gives you a little bit of a heads up, a little bit of forewarning. every night. It's going to be competitive.
Yeah, and I think that's got to be the fun thing, especially for you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, you know that when you go to a gym that it's going to be a closely contested game. I mean, but you talk about, like, the front two runners right now in the NEK at this point, and it's so crazy because is it at the end of next week? Yeah. Okay, so we have this week. We have next week.
And then we're in tournament week.
Then we're into tournament week, right?
Which is your
line. So that's my, you know,
line.
Second, you know, demarcation right there. And then it's just a sprint to the finish.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but we're kind of getting to that point where now we can talk about the leagues and talk about how they're shaping up because now we're getting some of those games added up. I mean, you're talking about ECCHS at 6-0 and Jackson Heights at 5-0. I mean, those two teams, you know, on a collision course for each other. Now, jumping to some of the guys' scores from around the area over the last few days.
And there have been some really good games that we've also been able to enjoy. Man, the game that we had with ACCHS and JCN, I'm telling you what, the Tigers got back a couple of guys that are a little more healthy and a little more full of strength, and they showed it as they took the Chargers right down to the wire. And in fact, had a chance, trailing by two, with a three-point shot at the buzzer that hit the rim and kicked away. So it was that close a game.
So, yeah, JCM with a 38-36 win over ACCHS. You had Horton over McLeod, 32-23. How about Morehill Mount Academy? The guys in overtime knocking off Jackson Heights, 43-41. You had Pleasant Ridge in another close game. What was with the close games the other night in the NEK, right? Pleasant Ridge over Oskaloosa, 46-45. So some great games that went on around the area this week. And, you know, a handful of games coming up. We'll talk about those here in just a minute. But real quick, let's look at the standings on the guys' side in the Northeast Kansas League.
Okay, if you thought the girls' side was really good with undefeated teams, how about on the guys with Valley Falls and Jefferson County North, both undefeated in the conference and undefeated on the season? Valley Falls 6-0. In the conference, 7-0 overall. JCN is 6-0 and 6-0. Pleasant Ridge not far behind at 5-2, one game back. Morehill Mount Academy is 4-2. There's your line drawn right there. Then you'll find Atchison County with a 2-4 record. Jackson Heights, Horton, McLeod, each with one win. And Oskaloosa looking for that first W of the season. But again, very, very strong conference and very competitive. And I'm not just going to say through the top half. I'm going to say through the top, what, 7/8 of the thing.
Yeah, I mean, so you talk about the Northeast Kansas League, especially in this, like, sprint to the finish, sprint to sub-state. It's going to be a lot of shakeup and should be a lot of fun coming up. How about we take a quick look at, you know, some games coming up on Friday?
Okay, Friday night we're going to have basketball around the area as the boys team for Atchison is going to be traveling to Kansas City, Washington. It'll be ACCHS at Oskaloosa Friday night. You'll find Morehill Mount Academy traveling up to Horton. Jackson Heights will be at home with McLeod. You'll find JCN hosting the Valley Falls team. And we mentioned that's the one that's going to be here on K Radio 93.7 Friday night. You know, Troy is going to go way out to Valley Heights. Perry LeCompton at Hiawatha. Holton at Nemaha Central, a couple of big 7-league games going on there.
So, yeah, lots of, you know, games and matches going on around the area. But today, you got Royal Valley up here, LeCompton for wrestling. Atchison is also there. Horton is there. So, you know, a little wrestling going on right now, too. So
a little wrestling quad going on there. And by the way, on Friday, there's going to be girls wrestling. Atchison will go to Mid-Buchanan, Eudora at Holton, and Eudora boys at Holton also. So it'll be boys and girls wrestling out there in Jackson County.
How about, we're coming up on sub-states, right? Like, it'll be here before you know
yeah.
it.
And you know these coaches are all looking.
I kind of laugh because some of these sub-states are starting to shape up. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not happy with your sub-state, it'll get better, right? How about the 3A Nickerson boys sub-state? Did I talk to you about this the other day?
No, what, tell me
this
about it.
This thing is ridiculous. How about Wichita Collegiate, Cheney, and defending champion Heston are all in the same sub-state? They're all undefeated at this point. And then you have Haven in there. They've only lost one game to this point, and here we are.
My guess is it's to one of those top three teams.
Yeah, I mean, and so you're talking about Heston, who's number one, Cheney, who's number two, Collegiate is number four, all in Class 3A, and only one of those teams is going to be able to punch their ticket to the Hutch Sports Arena. So
what you're saying, they combined for a record of like 25-1 or something.
Yeah, probably, exactly. But, you know, 1, 2, 4... And then the outsider has one loss. That's a sub-state. And see, that's why I think that, you know, I kind of like state getting, you know, only one team from each sub-state. But, again, I wouldn't be upset with a at-large type deal and maybe a bye somewhere, you know, shaking things up. Because every once in a while you do get a sub-state that has two teams that belong in the state, right? Like, I mean, and then you get some sub-states that have, let's be honest, we have six teams that probably really don't deserve it. So, I mean, anyway, that will be one to keep an eye on as the season progresses. But, yeah, it won't be long as, you know, next Sports Look we'll be talking about midseason tournaments. And, you know, just a few Sports Looks after that, we'll be talking about sub-state basketball.
No question about it. I mean, we're flying along. We're well into January. And tell you what, flying along here on Sports Look, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. Got lots more things to talk about, lots of area teams to cover. We'll return right after this. Good to have you back with us here as Sports Look continues on CARE Radio, our first edition of 2022. Gus, the Benedictine Ravens are well underway in 2022 with basketball as they were on the road Monday night, a game that was going to be Sunday, and then they had to change it to Monday night for anticipating poor weather. And then back at home last night with Peru State, and the Benedictine ladies playing some good basketball. And you know what? This team is going to be someone to be reckoned with as this season goes on.
Hey, you know what the Lady Ravens are doing to this point? Here we are. And it's the 6th of January, they're racking up wins, right?
Yep.
And that's the biggest thing right now. Just try to get your win total, push it up to 20, and then just at that point, see where the chips might fall. But this Lady Ravens team is playing good basketball. They're scoring a lot of points right now. And they're finding different ways to win, right? They're being able to do it with different players and, you know, lots of shakeups in the lineups as far as who comes in when and, you know, maybe dealing with a few injuries and things. I mean, this is a team that seems like it is primed for a run.
Yeah, but it's going to be a difficult run because this conference, I'm not sure when I remember this conference being as balanced maybe as it is this season, even though there's a bit of a spread from top to bottom in both the North and the South divisions. Still, I think the teams, particularly, you know, the teams in the middle, absolutely outstanding. You look at the, let's just take a tour of the North first on the ladies' side, where Clark, they're the stunner for me, okay? They've graduated some of the best talent around, and they come back, they're 15-2, 6-0 in the conference right
now. Yeah, if you told me that Clark was going to be, you know, 15 wins early January, I'd say you're crazy. Because, you know, when McKenna Hosey graduated, I said, you know, that was kind of their run, and that team they had last year was it. They've proved that maybe they're kind of here to stay right now on the ladies' side.
Yeah. On the North, then you have Grandview at 5-1. They're a 13-win team.
They're a really good team, too, right? I mean, a scrappy team, really well coached. They're a team that scares you night in and night out, and they also have the reigning conference player of the week in Shannon Pisney, who, you know, last week only averaged 20.5 points, and so she's, you know, a star.
And she's a star who feels like she's been there for years and
oh,
years.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's like 100 years, right? Like, ever since
back.
We started going to Des Moines, it has been the Shannon Pisney show.
Yeah. Peru State, we saw last night. They're 3-3 in the conference, 8-7 overall. Then you find Mount Mercy at 3-3. Culver has two wins. The surprise and maybe the disappointment in the North has been William Penn for me at 1-5 in the conference, and they are 1-16. What on earth has happened up in Oskaloosa?
Yeah, you know, they got a first-year head coach, former player, is, you know, now taking over the program. Here's the deal. Kind of watching how they're approaching this, you don't really see anything about what's happening this year. All you see are the amount of recruits they're bringing in for next year's class and things like that, so I mean, I think they're just, like, taking their lumps this year, hoping to bring in a strong recruiting class next year. But, yeah, I mean, William Penn, for a place that has really had good women's basketball ever since they came into the conference, really struggling this year.
And then you got Graceland, the team we're going to be seeing Saturday, who's also up against the ropes. They are 3-12 on the year, and they're winless in the conference yet.
Yeah, you know, and they're under a second-season head coach, and Graceland just always feels like on the ladies' side is it's a program that has never really been able to gain any traction, right? And the guys for many years hadn't until Doty got there. He was there for 2 years, won a national title, went on to Emporia. But, you know, the women's program there at Graceland has just never really been able to gain traction.
Women's basketball in the Heart of America Athletic Conference in the South Division. Okay, everybody knows that Coach John Lewis at Mid-America, he schedules up a lot of tough teams early in the season. You see him taking some lumps. You see Mid-America's girls losing, and you're saying, well, this is going to be the year that they're not very good. Well, you play those good teams, and you take those lumps early for a reason. They are 7-6 overall, but they're in first place in the South Division of the conference with one loss. So you see, you get better, get there right way, and you put a charge on now as you go into the new year.
Yeah, you play a lot of those really good teams early on, right? Like the Shawnee States of the world, the Our Lady of the Lakes, teams that you hear in the national tournament every year. Then when you get to conference play, you say, hey, ladies, maybe we're not as good as we want to be, but now let's get into conference play. Let's build up some wins and get ourselves to where we need to be when it comes to, you know, March in the national tournament. You know, Coach Lewis has won the conference quite a few times. He knows how to do this.
Benedictine's Lady Ravens have the most wins in the South at 5-2. They are in second place behind Mid-America and a great 12-4 record. You talked earlier about your march to the Magic 20 number. Well, right now, you know, you're majority of the way there, and you've got a lot of games yet to play. Evangel is at 4-2 and 8-8. Central Methodist. Arguably, prior to the season, you look at the talent and you look at the coaching staff, you say maybe the best team in the Heart. They are 13-3, but only 3-3 in the conference, and yet three losses in games that they never touched the floor.
Yeah, I mean, there's the problem, right? And now they're dealing with it again. Yep. They tweeted out yesterday that they had like five or six players that, you know, are back into, you know, protocols and things like that. They were down so many players yesterday and still were able to win. I'm going to tell you, as you're flying through the South, the South is by far the harder route this year.
No question.
Right? I mean, like, I get it in the North. It's Clark. It's Grandview. Flip a quarter, really. Either one, I think, are kind of interchangeable for me. But the South, Mid-America, always good. Benedictine, really good. You talk about Evangel is a team who I don't think I expected under a first-year head coach to be this good, right? They lost their head coach over the summer, kind of late in the game, and then were able to replace the coach. Seems like they picked up kind of where they left off.
Coach Leisinger was only there for a couple of years, and then she took a job back at her alma mater.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Central Methodist, who is just scary good because they're just loaded up with D1 talent, as long as they just stay out of their own way at this point. Like, I mean, I think that's their biggest trouble has been not being able to, you know, stay apart, you know, and do the things that you're supposed to do. Missouri Valley is a team who, I don't care who you are, with Ben Lister at the helm, I mean, he's going to get that thing figured out. They scare me a little bit. They're 3-3 in the conference. Baker and Park, I mean, are just Baker and Park at this point. You know, I mean, like, it's so weird that Baker has fallen off the way they have. But, you know, over the last couple of years, they've not really been much of a challenge.
Baker is the only team in the Heart of America's South Division under 500. I mean, that is how good. You talked about how the South is going to be tough. It is going to be absolutely phenomenal. And for the Lady Ravens, you got to make hay when the sun shines. And again, you beat a North team last night. You will have another North team on Saturday up at their place. You got to get those W's, you know. Yep. Got to get the ones you're supposed to get.
Yeah, because you're going to string games against Peru, who's, you know, above 500, middle of the pack type team. You're going to get Graceland on Saturday, who's a really bad team. Next week, you're going to get Baker on Wednesday, and so that's a team that you should beat. All of that sets up for next Saturday when you go to Des Moines, and I don't think ever gone to Des Moines on a Saturday for basketball.
No, it's always been on a weeknight.
Right, and so anyway, that's going to set up for a big game next Saturday. You'd like to have strung a handful of wins together going into that ball game.
Last night, games around the conference, of course, Benedictine winning Central Methodist over Baker and Baldwin. It was Clark demolishing Grandview, giving them their that only loss, winning by 28 points. Again, William Penn with another forfeit. This one 2-0 about Mercy. Overtime, 91-84. Evangel beats Park. So that shows you how closely those teams compete. Colbert beat Graceland and Mid-America. No trouble with Missouri Valley winning by 32.
Games coming up on Saturday, there'll be two noon games. It'll be Evangel and Peru State. A little surprised that's a 12 o'clock game, but good for them. I think we need more of those.
I
like 12-2 or even 1-3, but 2-4 just like throws you so late in the day. Mount Mercy will be at Park for a 12 o'clock game. The 2 o'clock games will see Culver Stockton at Central Methodist, possibly. Mid-America at Clark. Can't believe that's going to be a late game, you know, for a long trip. Benedictine Graceland, you're going to have Missouri Valley at Penn, and Grandview will make what should be an easy trip for them, right? Straight down 35 and cut across at Baker.
Okay, so we're going to digress a little bit. We've killed so much time here, but we're just going to take one more little moment. So you like the idea of Saturday games being noon and two.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally agree with that. Do you remember, it's been a number of years ago now, when the conference games were at 5-7.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think of that?
It's just like in the postseason. I really dislike that Saturday postseason game, and it's a 7 o'clock game. I'm like, let's scoot it up, play it at 5 o'clock, play it at 3 o'clock, play it at 2 o'clock. I don't care. I just hate waiting all day for a 7 o'clock standalone game,
yep.
You know?
But, so, again, in the old days, the girls were at 5 and the guys were at 7, and they changed that because it was for, you know, attendance. They were trying to get people in to get off work at 5, a lot of them, and that way they've got a few minutes to get to the school, get to the gym, and get inside. But I'm not so sure that that's really, really that big a factor. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, and, the KCAC, I think, kind of plays at funky times, too.
Is that right?
Yeah. And while we're digressing a little bit.
Sure.
I mean, there was a 2-3 year period, you know, maybe even less than that. Might have been 1 or 2 years. Remember where we flip-flopped.
Absolutely.
Right?
At the midpoint of the season, the guys who would play second and the girls first, then halfway through the year, they switched it. The guys would play the early game and the girls would play the second.
Yep. So, anyway, times just drive me nuts. I kind of like, you know, that's what I like about football, right? 1 o'clock kickoffs, and then they started going noons and 12s and 1s and 11s and 3s. So, anyway.
Hey, we got a lot of stuff to cover. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. Sports Look continues right after this. Welcome back. Sports Look continuing here on KIR Radio. We shift down to men's college basketball and the Benedictine guys last night. Boy, Gus, that game was just back and forth. It was, to say that it was hotly contested might be a great understatement. Back and forth, the Ravens were down a half dozen, and then they would get back and up by a little bit. And then in the last 6 minutes of the game, things kind of clicked for BC. They went on a 20-4 run and ended up with a very impressive win over an extremely good and extremely well-coached team out of Peru State.
Yeah, and how many times do we talk about, especially with this guys team, that you're not really sure who it's going to be each night, right? Earlier this week, it was Saxon Thuston over at Central Methodist who put together a big game. Last night, it was Matt Austin, you know, with a huge game, knocking down all those threes. What did he end up with? 33 points,
33.
I believe.
Now,
I feel like the only thing you can bet on is if you want the safe money, a St. Joe player, at least that puts you in a pool of three.
It really put pretty deep pool, too. And by the way, going into the ball game, I was getting ready. Because going into the ladies' game, by the way, Natalie Samarin, 50 points away from 1,000. And I'm thinking, you know, probably not tonight, but, you know, very soon for her, she'll reach that plateau. Going into the game last night, Matt Austin was 33 away from 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, you know, that's a big number, probably not tonight. But I'm thinking of Graceland, you know, that's when that's going to happen. Hit that last shot last night for him, and it was a very exciting moment, and congratulations to Matt. Thousands a lot of points.
Yeah, thousands a lot of points, and he didn't start here, right?
And remember,
you know?
he did not play yeah, his freshman year here.
Right, you know, that kind of puts you up, and I'm going to hit the way back machine here. That kind of puts you in that Dominique Ellis type, you know.
Oh, yeah, that only plays a couple of years
and
still in the record
book. And scores a lot of points, and, I mean, those are special players in their own category. I always kind of put them there. And so.
And now, speaking of own category, and the race is on for Jaden Bristol and the assist record. because he is chasing that, and he's got a pretty good shot at it now. I'm thinking this month he will achieve that, and he's going to bump off the Pride of Kickapoo, Jason Wyrick.
I was going to say, it probably had, I was figuring it either had to be Wyrick or Westerhaus, you know, somebody mm-hmm. like that who was able to dish the ball pretty well, but also didn't have a problem taking a shot, you know.
They would be happy to air it
out. I mean,
I
don't think any of those guys, you know, had a problem or saw a shot that they didn't like.
Men's basketball, the standings in the Heart of America Athletic Conference on the north side, William Penn, cream of the crop. They are 13-1, 5-1 of the conference. Mount Mercy, 3-3. Grandview, 3-3. Clark, 3-3. Peru, 3-3. Culver is at 2-4, and Graceland is winless. And yet, Culver at 2-4, they're 11-4. They got a shot at going to the national tournament.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, Colby Stockton has been playing really good basketball up until they got to conference play, and then things have just kind of fallen apart a little bit. But, again, you regroup just a little bit, you could finish, like, third or fourth in your conference and still have enough wins to maybe do it.
In the South, there are seven teams, top to bottom, separated by a game. Mm. You've got Central Methodist, Evangel, and Benedictine at 4-2, all tied at the top, all double-digit wins on the season. Mid-America is 3-2, then Valley Park and Baker are 2-3. I mean, every team is right there.
Out of all these teams, one team I don't understand is Missouri Valley. Right? They're up one day, they're down the next day. It's just like they have been that roller coaster ride all season.
But again, 10 wins, mm-hmm. but only two of them in the conference. So
I mean, and that's what I'm saying.
Does that tell you the conference is good, or does that tell you, what does that tell you?
I don't know. When was the last time? January 6th, you take, 52 teams in the Heart of America Athletic Conference, right?
It feels like it some days.
Yeah, but out of all these teams, you combine the men's and the women's, there is one undefeated team in the conference, and I'm going to tell you they're not going to run the table, and that's the Clark women.
Yeah.
Like, how long has it been since we've seen, you know, this early in the
early
season?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're only six games in, and nobody's undefeated in the on the guys' side, and, you know, in the South Division, two losses put you in first place.
Yeah, again, so, 2-3. You're one game from 500, and you're right there.
And so, you know, with this year's schedule, right, you play the double round robin in your division, so there's going to be a lot of teams beating each other up in the South Division, and you only play one game out of the North, is that correct?
Yes.
Right? And so, you know, possibly there, possibly here.
Two games with each in your conference, and then the or division, and your non-division opponents, you get one.
So
there you have it. And again, this weekend coming up, Evangel at Peru, Mount Mercy Saturday at Park. Central Methodist may or may not host Culver Stockton. You've got Mid-America traveling over to Clark, Penn with Valley, Grandview at Baker, and of course, there are Care Radio game with the Benedictine Ravens at Graceland. 2 o'clock ladies, 4 o'clock guys for that one. Tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. Sports Look rolling along on a Thursday. We'll be back right after this. It is Sports Look here on Care Radio as we move to segment 4. It is rapid fire, and tell you what, Gus, Kansas City Chiefs are on all the minds of a lot of people around here. They stumbled a little bit. They had in their grasp the chance to secure the home field throughout the postseason. They can still achieve that, but now they're going to need help going into the final week of the regular NFL season.
Yeah, I mean, there was a time going into that Cincinnati game, and can I tell you, throughout that day against Cincinnati, I just never really thought the Chiefs were going to lose that game. Even though Ja'Marr Chase was having a big game, you just never felt like Cincinnati had full control of that thing. And then the final drive happened, right? Like, you had too many penalties on the final drive.
You let them burn up too much time.
Right. I mean, and that was just it. Like, they were able to, how many times do I say I love being able to get a first down inside the one?
Yeah.
Right? Or at the one. And that's what they did. They got a first down at the one, and then were able to burn off as much time as they wanted, kicked the field goal at the end.
A couple of very timely penalties,
mm-hmm.
a couple of very questionable calls, and some questionable no calls.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's all said and done, Kansas City Chiefs stumble against a decent team. I'm not saying that they're a great team, but they're not a terrible team. And this Chase, man, I knew nothing about him until Sunday, and I saw more than I wanted to.
Okay, so everybody in this area knows a lot about Ja'Marr Chase, right? Because coming out of high school, Ja'Marr Chase was a four-star prospect, okay? Where did he sign out of high school?
No guess.
University of Kansas.
There you go.
Okay? Signs with Kansas, like, within 2 weeks, flips to LSU, becomes a superstar at LSU, you know, wins a national title there, and the rest is history. But he was originally signed as a Kansas Jayhawk, and that's kind of crazy to get a four-star into Lawrence. That's why they ended up and didn't really get a four-star to Lawrence. But yeah, Jamar Chase is really good. You know, early on in the season, he had troubles with drops because he said his problem was that the college football had the white stripes on it. The NFL football does not, and he had problems, like, picking up where the football was. Kind of got over that. He's been great ever since. He will be your Rookie of the Year. And I will tell you that Joe Burrow is most likely going to be your comeback player of the year. I mean, and so it's just, right now, Cincinnati got a lot of good things going for him. But I think every team in the NFL doesn't mind seeing Cincinnati in the playoffs because, again, I think if you bracket Jamar Chase, you do a few things differently, and the Chiefs come away with a victory in that one.
Yeah, no question, but if some buds were candy and nuts, then every day would be Christmas, right, Denny?
Exactly.
That all said, so the Chiefs are going to make their way out to Mile High Stadium, and Denver's a team that they're struggling. They're not very good. They are in a great deal of flux internally, not just on the field, not just with players and staff, but also in management, administration of the team. The ownership of the team is in some question. They're talking about, you know, new owners. I mean, this is a franchise that has a great fan base. None of them are happy.
Can I tell you, I actually, on my phone yesterday, streamed KOA.
Oh, yeah.
And just listened to some sports talk radio.
I bet they were grumpy people.
Can I tell you what they're talking about?
They want Peyton Manning to buy the team?
Well, that too. I mean, that was kind of a thing. But right now, they're not worried about this game. They are just to the point where it's NFL draft. They say, you know, we've got to lose this game so we stay at number 7.
I think
that's where they're at. Like, their mind is like, don't win because that puts you in a double-digit type. You know, you could fall from the 7 pick to, I think they were saying, like 11 or 12, which that's a completely different player that's there at 7 and then that's there at 12. And so that's kind of where I think Denver's mindset is. You don't know who the quarterback's going to be because, you know, Drew Locke got a little banged up. They're thinking possibly Drew Locke. If not, I mean, you know, can you call Terrell Davis and see if he could still play? I bet he could wildcat that thing, you know, and do just as good as anybody else.
Well, I think Locke will get the start Sunday, and I don't think that Bronco fans, if they want their team to lose, I don't think they're going to have any problem with that happening.
Yeah, but, you know, the Chiefs have struggled with the Broncos, not in the game, but their offense has struggled. Like, Patrick Mahomes has some crazy streak where he hasn't thrown a touchdown pass against them in, like, the last 2 or 3 games. And it's just kind of crazy that, you know, Denver defense has done so well against Kansas City. But, again, Kansas City, a 10-point favorite in it. It's a Saturday game, which tells me that the NFL has plans for the Kansas City Chiefs when it comes to Wild Card Weekend, and I'm not so on board with all of that. But, again, should be interesting.
And the other Saturday game, the Chiefs are the 3:30 Saturday game. Then the evening Saturday game, because these are the two teams I got going to the national championship. The Cowboys are going to be at the Eagles. And I'm lining up Chiefs and Cowboys. I'm sorry. I could see that very realistically. Not just pie in the sky. There's a real fighting chance of that happening.
No.
No?
No. I mean, you can say it, and it sounds great.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure when it comes to Dallas who I have less faith in. Is it Dak Prescott or is it Mike McCarthy? Because I don't trust either one of them to win a big game, right? I mean, I think Dallas is playing really good football, but I just think that when they get up against good teams, they struggle.
They got so much talent.
They do, but the problem is they just don't think they gel well enough. You look at their defense. Micah Parsons, the rookie out of Penn State, is great as a linebacker, but everybody looks at Diggs and his numbers for interceptions. And I know you love a good cornerback that can make an interception.
Yes.
But dig deeper. You know that he is giving up the most passing yards, like, in the NFC this year. Like, going up against him, he has, what, like 7, 8 interceptions, but he's given up about 110 yards receiving a game because why not? You get thrown at that many times, you're bound to get an interception or two.
We've seen that cornerback again, who jumps the routes, yeah. And you're going to, one or two things happen. You're a hero or you're a goat.
Or you're the goat. And the problem is, everybody's remembering he's a hero, and fewer times you're forgetting about him being the GOAT.
Well, the Chiefs and Cowboys both came up on the short end of the stick last weekend.
Yeah,
and so they're looking for a bounce back here.
Cowboys, Eagles, both of those teams at this point into the playoffs. The Cowboys will be in the playoffs. The Eagles, I would say, most likely going to make it as well.
And Dallas is a 7-point favorite in that game in Philadelphia. Other games going on Sunday, got Titans and Texans. Chiefs are going to be big Houston fans?
Yeah, Davis Mills, right? Like, so the Texans, who have struggled this year, they will lose to the Titans. I hope they don't, but I just don't see the Texans with much to gain in that ballgame. The advantage is at least they're home, but Tennessee a 10-point favorite. Possibly getting Derrick Henry back in the backfield this week. So, you know, the Titans have the most to gain by getting the bye, because you give Henry one more week. So I think if, you know, maybe the Texans could pull off a big game, the Titans don't overly scare me in the playoffs.
Sunday night game is going to be a game that I think when they originally scheduled this, they thought this was going to really have some huge implications and going to be a tremendous game. Now it is not, I don't think, really.
Yeah.
Raiders, Chargers, I mean, certainly winner it involves all. The Chiefs.
Winner take all. Winner of that game will play the number two seed.
So the winner of this is going to be the 17.
Yep. So it was kind of funny. Yesterday during the Raiders coach's press conference, right, they have the new interim head coach. And they said, you know, this is a big game. It's winner take all. And he said, is it? And they said, yeah, like. And he said, well, I don't know how the tiebreakers all came out. And they said, well, the NFL sent out the email. He said, yeah, I don't know how to check my email.
I love it. I love this guy.
And so anyway, but yeah, it's a winner take all. And I think that's exactly what the NFL likes to see. The winner of this game is going to get Kansas City most likely in the first game of the playoffs. And if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you're like, ugh, you don't really like to see that. But it is what it is.
You end up playing a division team in the first round. And so there you go. That is the Sunday night game. Looking at quickly at the NFL playoff picture, if it were to end today in the NFC, Green Bay, I mean, They are probably the class of the NFC. The number two seed is the Rams. They have had a spectacular season. The three seed, Tampa Bay, the defending champions, and the four seed, Dallas.
Yeah, but Dallas would like to shake up these standings a little bit because, you know, in game one they would get the five seed, which is Arizona. Arizona was the one.
What happened to Arizona, man?
And then they just kind of fell apart,
yeah,
right?
I don't get them.
But DeAndre Hopkins. But you talk about Kyler Murray, the quarterback for, you know, the Cardinals. He was able to beat Dallas last week. He has never lost at AT&T Stadium, a guy who's from the Metroplex and has played there like five or six times, and that includes a college game. And, you know, he's comfortable in that stadium. And so if I'm Dallas,
I think it
really
includes
don't
high school
see the Cardinals.
State championship games, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and so I think that's why the Cowboys really like to not see, you know, that game happen. You would see the 49ers right now looking at the 6th seed. They would be at the Buccaneers, and the 7th seed would be the Eagles going to the Los Angeles Rams. And, again, these things will all change, and I'm telling you that the NFL hit a home run on the first year of 18 weeks because, like, there have been so many good games, and all these teams that are still alive this late in the season.
And on the AFC side, we've mentioned it now with the win last week, the Chiefs losing, the Titans have taken over the number one seed and have the bye game. It would be Kansas City 2. How about the Bengals at 3 and at 4, Buffalo? Buffalo's a team, again, that I think everybody thought was maybe going to be the darling of the AFC this year.
Yeah, everybody kind of, after that Chiefs game early on when they were able to win that, everybody said, oh yeah, it's all Buffalo. But now they've fallen all the way to the 4 seed and not a great draw. They would get a conference opponent again, and that would be the Patriots. And that was, you know, two good games.
Right. But again, I have no faith in the Patriots as well as they're playing. I have no faith in Indianapolis. I have no faith in the LA Chargers.
See, and I thought you would have faith in the Colts because all they do is run the ball.
Right? I know.
They have a running back that's going to go off for $150, and that's your kind of football night in and night out. But, again, I really think that, you know, the cream of the division is the Titans, Chiefs, Bengals, and the Bills.
Real quick, any bowl game surprised you? Really, not the K-State won, but that they just dominated LSU, I think was a big surprise for me.
Yeah, but the best part of that game was, I don't know, did you watch the last play of the game for LSU?
I did not.
Like, very last play, they ran a double reverse halfback pass, scored on like a 60-yard touchdown as time expired. But no games really jumped out at me. I think the one thing that did jump out at me is the number of bowl games that didn't get played.
I was going to say, there's just too many bowl games.
Yeah, I think that at some point you need to start cutting those back. The Mountain West went 5-1. The Big 12 went 5-2. The SEC went 6-8. And you look at the Pac-12, who really struggled when it came to bowl games. They were right there with the ACC.
National championship game is going to be Georgia-Alabama Monday, and it should be a great game. How can Georgia be a 2.5-point favorite? Don't get me wrong, I'm all on the dogs, but, man, Alabama is Alabama.
Yeah, and Alabama boat raced Georgia just a few weeks ago down in Atlanta. I don't know. I hate to bet against Nick Saban when it comes to title games, especially against Kirby Smart, who's a former assistant and things like that. But I would love to see the Dogs win. I think Alabama probably handles this thing.
And usually this time of the year we go hot stove, but there is no stove. The coal is still in the bucket out on the porch because baseball continues to be locked out.
Yeah, what? The Royals were supposed to be in surprise around February 13, 14, 15. How close to that do we get? You know, how long before we get something from baseball?
It'll be March, April.
Okay. I mean, I think you're probably right because I don't think either of these sides really seem to be in a rush to get to the table and figure anything out.
Hey, we got lots of great games coming your way here on Kent Radio. Tomorrow night, it'll be Valley Falls at Jefferson County North. Saturday afternoon, Benedictine at Graceland. Next Tuesday, Oskaloosa at Horton. And next Wednesday, Benedictine at Baker. Tremendous ball games coming up. Stay with us for that. Thanks so much to Exchange Bank, Taco John's, Gerber Electric, and Hamada Wealth Management, our Sport Look sponsors. Till we greet you next time, for Gus Couch, Tom Couch, so long, everybody.